Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, snap.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
You can't see God or fell off. I'm still hot, knock your shell off.
How you like that? I kind of let it roll for a little bit. A little bit. That's what it's all about. We're having some fun tonight. Today, of course, it is Tuesday, the 14th of May, and you are once again officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson. Rob, are you able to jump on?
Ready to make it do what it do, Doc. What's going on, man?
I don't know. You tell me. We in the same state. We in the same place. And
yeah, you're right.
Rob's
yeah,
still
you're
on
right.
Central time. Rob is still on Central time, but that's okay. It's all good. We are having some fun, of course. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12th Man. Like I said, we've introduced the co-host and yours truly. So without further ado, I was going to check in with Rob to see how he is doing this evening. I was getting prepared to kind of start talking by myself, man, but I'm glad you're able to show up, man. So how are you doing this evening, man?
Man, doing great, man. Have a great show tonight. We got a lot to talk about. Well, not a whole lot of topics, but, you know, we're going to make it work. We're going to make it do what it do tonight.
I just don't want you getting the rest again like Titus Young, man, okay? Just calm down, you know. I don't want you to keep, having those type of challenges or anything like that, man. But we'll keep it going for sure. Let's throw out some numbers for those that want to call in and check in with us. Obviously, we are big in the social media world, Rob. We are on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports and also Talking Sports with 12th Man. If you want to find us on Twitter, our Twitter handle is at the number 12, thmansports.com, or on Twitter, basically. And the number to call into the show, if you want to give us your thoughts, your opinions, what it's all about, the number to call into is 424-243-9519. I got to get my game face on. And let's talk about a lot of topics. First and foremost, the NBA is doing their thing, Rob. And let's talk about the Knicks and Pacers. That series is going on right now in addition to the Spurs and the Warriors. What are your thoughts on the Knicks and the Pacers? So who do you think's what are your thoughts about this?
Well, it's obviously looking like a Pacers series at this point. They're up 3-1. They're totally controlling the series. They're dominating in the paint. And, Indiana's playing outstanding defense. And, you know, I think, you know, we got to put this in perspective here. This Indiana team, the job that the head coach there, Frank Vogel, is doing
Frank
there,
Vogel.
I think
is
very underrated. And you got to realize that they're without their number one scorer this season, Danny Granger. And they're actually have gotten better this season, kind of without them. They're getting defensive stops, they're getting defensive players on the defensive stops on the perimeter. And Paul George is quietly becoming a superstar in his league. And you're not hearing a lot of people talking about him because he's playing in Indiana, of course. But he's just totally negating Carmelo Anthony in this series. And you just got to tip your hat to him. And, you know, we're looking at a Indiana-Miami final, Eastern Conference Finals. And that might even be interesting.
Wow. I don't know why you got to talk about Indiana like that, man. There's a lot of things happening in Indiana, man. So, you know, we like basketball, man. I'm just saying, it's where I'm from, man. There's basketball goal in every driveway. There may be some corners, some cows, but that's okay. We're going to keep it real, Rob. Keeping it real.
Why you can't shoot?
Oh, I can't shoot. Just let me know, man. You say the time and the place, and it's on. Trying to make little calls, man. Talking sports with 12th Man. That's what we do. This is kind of an interesting, you know, you talk about a tale of two teams, Rob, and I'm going to compare Indiana with also Chicago. We'll get to that series, too, because, you know, obviously Chicago's playing without Derrick Rose, and they're playing without a lot of players in this juncture. And, you know, they're definitely running into a buzzsaw with the national champion Heat. But you look at Indiana, like you said, they're playing without Danny Granger. And do you think that this is a situation where the team can be better, or do you think they're going to actually be hurt if he comes back? What do you think about that?
Well, if he comes back at this point, you know, a lot of times you think that might help you. You look at the situation with the Knicks. Meyer Stoudemire has been back two games, and they've lost both games. You know, a lot of times when you bring in a player, what happens is sometimes you mess up the chemistry. And so it's not necessarily, you know, and that could be the case with the Bulls at this stage, too. You know, you bring back a Derrick Rose at this stage, and he hadn't played a game all season. You know, do you really think he's going to help the ball club? No, I think he more so will hurt the ball club. You know, you wait until you can get a fresh offseason with the team, fresh training camp. You blend the team together at that stage. Right now, at this stage, when I'm not playing a game the entire season, you can't really help the ball club. I think it makes it worse. You kind of see a brief dosage of that with the Knicks, with Amari Stoudemire being back, and they've lost two games since he's been back. Plus, the Knicks just does not seem to play well when Amari Stoudemire and Carmelo is in the game. They don't seem to gel together.
That's interesting, too, Rob, because I like how you kind of made that analogy, too, like I said, because it is interesting how certain teams, it's a chemistry thing. I mean, they don't get the flow back. And that's kind of very surprising because Amari, you know, I mean, he's been a pretty good player in this league. So, you know, I'm very surprised at the way the Knicks are struggling at this juncture. You know, the ball's not flowing as much. And there's certain situations where maybe it's addition by subtraction, but, you know, at this juncture, it does look like the Pacers are going to take control of the series, and they are taking control. They'll get this other game, and, you know, like you said, it'll be a Heat-Pacers final, which I agree would be a very, very interesting finals. Keep it going, sir. Let's talk about another team. What do you think about we're not even going to mention Chicago and the Heat because, you know, we're pretty much the Heat should lock that up. What do you think about this other series? I'm going to talk about KC. And Memphis. And Memphis, I'm not going to say surprisingly, but it's just kind of interesting the way they've been able to handle a lot of the body blows that the Thunder have been able to make. And it's interesting, Rob, because it seemed like Kevin Durant's been trying to do it by himself, and then finally he got some help, and they still could not pull off the game versus the Grizzlies in overtime.
Well, one of the things, you know, we talked about on our show prior to the playoffs, OKC is a good team, but they're not as good as they were last year without James Harden. And then in the middle of the playoffs, you lose with Russell Westbrook. So now you're losing. You've already lost two integral parts of your team that made it to the NBA Finals last year. So they're obviously not as good as a team without those two players. As good as Kevin Durant is, I think you can make a case that he's either 1B or the second-best player in the NBA. But, you know, without you got to have some horses with you in order to win the NBA title. That's just the bottom line. Jordan had Pippen and Rodman. Jordan had Pippen and Horace Grant. You know, he had some players along with them. And Kobe had Shaq. Shaq had Kobe, however you want to look at it. And you have to have another horse with you. Right now, with him not having Harden from last year and now with Westbrook being out, you know, I kind of foresee this series going Memphis waiting prior to starting. And Memphis, I tell you, Lionel Hollins is one of the most underrated coaches in the game. I don't think he gives as much credit as he deserves. Same as Frank Vogel, the coach of Indiana. I think George Karl, of course, had a great year and deservedly, you know, won NBA Coach of the Year. But you could have easily made a case for Lionel Hollins and Frank Vogel for the jobs that they've done as well. And you look at what Memphis did, they traded Rudy Gay this year. And you get Tayshaun Brents, a seasoned veteran who's won the NBA title with Detroit. And I actually think they're a better team without Gay. They lose a little bit offensively, but Prince's length on defense just causes havoc. And he's making Kevin Durant work. He's not going to stop Kevin Durant, but he's making him work. And, you know, he's got that experience, the seasoned leadership. And you know, another thing we're seeing with this Grizzlies team is Mike Conley is coming into his own at the right time as well. He's really stepping up his game as a point guard and a forward general. And you might have the two best below-the-rim big men in the league, and Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol. Those guys can't even jump over an ant. But, you know, below the rim, they're going to pump fake you to death, and they're going to outsmart you. So they use their smarts over their athleticism.
Reminds me of the old days of Kevin McHale. Boy, he used to do some open under moves and whatnot. He used to frustrate the heck out of certain teams, man, or players.
Yeah,
but,
he can jump over and
Yep, but he was just a very cerebral player, and just good to see that back. I think it's good to see that back in the game for sure. If you are Russell Westbrook, I think, you know, in spite of what's going on, I think you're probably the happiest guy in the world because, you know, it's one of the situations where, you know, you're not missing until you're gone, Rob. And, you know, I know that Russell Westbrook got so much flack for him not being supposedly a pure point guard, but the way that OKC is actually just fading, man, without him, man, you kind of realize the importance of having him. I agree with you, man. They were a better team last year with Harden. If Harden was there, I'm sure he would be the second fiddle. He would definitely help out Kevin Durant to take out some of that, some of the pressure off of him. But right now, it's one of the situations where it's definitely hindsight is 2020. And you know, you like to just talk about Houston. Maybe you heard some rumors about Josh Smith and Dwight Howard. That may be a final destination for them. But you know, switching gears, like I said, OKC, I think they're in a lot of trouble, Rob.
Oh yeah, like I said, it's pretty obvious. I can see OKC winning Game 5 at home, but I think it will go to Game 6 and Memphis will close out the series 4-2. And this Indiana Knicks thing, I think Indiana can go to New York and win in Game 5 and close this thing out. I think Indiana could really go in and close this thing out in Game 5. I just think other than that fourth quarter in Game 2, Indiana's just been a better team in the entire series. And I really think they can go to New York and finish off the Knicks.
Gotcha. What do you think about the Spurs-Warriors? The Spurs-Warriors, Mark Jackson, a couple years ago, whenever he was getting the job at Golden State, I'm sure a couple of people weren't thinking he was going to be they didn't know what to expect, I'm sure, from coaching. You know, he had a lot of bravado, and he has a big personality. And then all of a sudden, looks like Golden State is actually on the cusp of becoming a good team. So what do you think about this particular series? The Spurs just keep grinding it out. I've heard some rumblings about Greg Popovich just getting by just with having Tim Duncan. He really hasn't been the best coach that we're talking about. But what do you think about this particular series as well?
Well, I think what you're seeing here is a team that's on the rise, the Golden State Warriors. And you really look at this team's roster here, this team could be good for a long time. If you throw out a starting lineup of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes as your 1, 2, and 3, that's going to be some explosive scoring right there just out of those three players. But then throw in a David Lee and Andrew Bogut in the post, you add some physicality to your team as well. So they may have the perfect blend of youth and veterans, physicality, and scoring. And so this is a team that's definitely on the rise. And I think you can see that this team, I think, as it's constructed now, might even have a better future than OKC does now without James Harden going in as far as the next 5 years or so. And so this is a team, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area, so you may like what you're hearing right now. And but this is a team, in my opinion, that is quietly on the rise and may be good for a long time. And I believe this is the only series that we're going to see 7 games out of, and that's left in this second round of the playoffs. And I think all the other ones are going to end in 5 or 6. I believe San Antonio still squeaks this series out in 7 games. I expect all of these last 3 remaining games to be close, but I think the Spurs veteran leadership will squeak the series out 4-3. But you better get Golden State now, because you won't be able to get them in a few years.
Gotcha. We may be seeing a shift in power, Rob. You know, obviously, Lakers getting older. Kobe's kind of near his end. But like you said, man, the way that Golden State is, they've got a nice blend. And they're a young team. So, you know, I think they need to add a couple more, you know, maybe some bench players. And this could be, like you said, a team that's definitely going to be on the rise. And you got to give a lot of kudos to Mark Jackson for what he's doing out in the Bay Area. Once again, let me throw out. Let's throw out some numbers here. We got about 50 minutes left. We're halfway at a good halfway point in the show. The numbers to call in, give us your thoughts, opinions on the NBA, and any other topics you want to discuss. Our number is 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/12thmansports as well. I don't know, Rob, you want to switch gears here, unless you want to talk about any other NBA series before we get ready to switch gears. Are you good with that?
Well, just kind of real quick, I think we probably should just touch on a few little notes on the Miami Bulls series, the last series, that we haven't really addressed too. And I think what you're starting to see is in this series, the Bulls are starting to wear down. And, you know, a valiant effort here early in the series, I think to give Miami a, you know, a wake-up call here. And one of the interesting things I take from this series, even in Game 3, Miami won that game by 10 points in Chicago. But anybody that watched that game and really studied that game, Miami did not play that well. And they still won the game. And I think what you're seeing out of Eric Spoelstra, you're starting to really see him really turn into a pretty good coach here. And not so much just a guy that's just relying on some talent there. And one of the things I was impressed with he did is he really stayed on that team even after they won Game 3. Because even myself watching that game as a spectator, I didn't think Miami played that well. And what you saw last night in Game 4 was a team that was on the gas pedal from the start of the tip-off. And so you have to like that from Eric Spoelstra to really get on that team, even though they won Game 3. And I personally thought the same thing. I didn't think they were that impressive. I didn't think they played that well. I didn't think LeBron James was aggressive in Game 3 at all. I thought he was too passive, too tentative. But once again, last night, you saw a team that had, well, you know, was pushed to the gas pedal, you know, from the opening tap. And you can really see that the Bulls just had no more gas. And part of the reason why Miami didn't play well Game 3, you have to give the Bulls some credit too. But you can really see last night that Spoelstra, obviously on Saturday and Sunday, was heavily on that team for the way they played, even though they won.
Yes, sir. That's a good point, man. I mean, like you said, I thought that, you know, anyone come in there and coach the team, but as you said, Spoelstra was kind of like getting his starting to become, like you said, becoming to his own. And sometimes you need that, Rob. You need that wake-up call, like you said. You know, Miami kind of came out kind of flat in that first game. But, you know, Chicago is ready for him, I think. And the Heat, you know, they kind of like, they kind of shorted up and they kind of said, hey, let's kind of go ahead and let's take the, just kind of take their heart out. And obviously, you know, Chicago, they're trying to like out-physical them and just, you know, do some flagrant fouls. I know we've been talking about that earlier, flagrant fouls, if I can say that correctly. And now the team is kind of like, you know, obviously they kind of pulled out like we expected Miami to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, just based on looking at these playoffs here, you know, it just kind of looks like in Miami in the Eastern Finals, and I'm still going to say Spurs and Memphis in the Western Finals. That's just my opinion. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I agree with you at this juncture. I don't even know are we watching the Heat game because that's pretty much over, but we'll keep it going. That's what we do as sports commentators and fans. We want to do as much as we can to keep following what we have as far as the sports games. All right, here we go. We are making some good moves here. We are wrapping up the NBA. Let's kind of switch gears and let's talk some NFL, Rob. And for some reason, I don't know why Tim Tebow always finds his way on the show, but he has once again this week. And
unbelievable.
I don't know. First, I found out that he's getting $60,000 to do I think he's actually going to get like an hour or something like that. He's going to speak at a church. And now Ron Jaworski actually wants Tebow to play arena football. I don't think Tebow would make that move. I think he's taking a step back. But, you know, I don't think it would hurt, but I think Tim has got to exhaust all his options, and I think he'd rather play in the NFL at this time. What do you think about the statement about Ron Jaworski is actually making about Tebow?
Well, you look at this, Ron Jaworski, of course, is a part owner of the Philadelphia Soul, the arena football team in Philadelphia. And, you know, what will happen if Tim Tebow goes to the Philadelphia Soul and play? It's going to increase the marketability of that franchise. It's going to increase the revenue of that franchise. It's going to increase the exposure of that franchise. So, obviously, you know, Ron Jaworski is looking for ways for his organization to be more profitable. And obviously bringing in the Tim Tebow is not only going to put more pockets in the Philadelphia Soul, but it's also going to bring more exposure to arena football as well. And so, obviously, you know, you're doing everything you can to improve your organization. And I just think that's what, you know, Ron Jaworski is just kind of doing here. I don't know if Tebow is ready to make that move to Arena Football. I think he would still like to see what his options are in the NFL. And I think even before you go to Arena route, he probably will look at the Canadian route before he goes to the Arena Football route. So I say I don't see that happen this coming Arena Football season, but maybe if he doesn't get an opportunity in the NFL or the Canadian Football League in the next year, it could be a possibility.
I don't think I've ever seen a player that's gone from the NFL route to the Arena Football and back to the NFL. I mean, I have to do some research to that's ever happened. You know, obviously you've seen Warren Moon kind of do some things, but I don't think has a player ever done that? They've gone to, you know, started, you know, in the NFL, went to Arena and came back? I don't know if that's ever happened. I don't think it has.
Yeah. No. Yeah, like I said, I don't think he's personally ready to jump to the Arena Football League. I think he's going to try to see what NFL or Canadian football opportunities come available. And if none come available, then he may consider the Arena Football League next year.
Gotcha. Let's keep it going. We're still loving the Eagles right about now. Richmond, this is for you, sir. We've just been told that Donovan McNabb said Monday he is going to retire as an Eagle in September. Man, you talk about somebody that has had a pretty storied record. He holds McNabb holds a lot of franchise records, 2,801, 3,200 passing yards, 216 passing touchdowns. Led the Eagles to four championship games, NFC championship games, and also the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but what do you think about Mr. Donovan? Number one, I might ask you, Rob, do you think he's a Hall of Famer at this juncture? And, you know, obviously it wasn't a good how he ended his career in with the Redskins, but what do you think about Mr. Donovan now making his decision to retire?
Well, I think it's the right move. Obviously, he hasn't gotten the opportunity to play in the NFL for a couple of years now, and I think the writing is on the wall. I think you're looking at a guy that had a very solid NFL career. And, you know, another question I wanted to bring up since we're talking about Donovan McNabb, get your thoughts on this. Do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
This is a tough one for me, Rob. I like Donovan McNabb as a person, and I admit he's had a lot of controversial things about him with Rush Limbaugh, just a lot of different things. It's tough. I'm going to go on the limb and say yes. I do think there's other quarterbacks that should go in this, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, this is really a tough one. I think he's right on that borderline. I'm going to say he's definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but
yeah,
I'm going to say he eventually gets in. And you look at his career; he made it to about five NFC Championship games, made it to one Super Bowl. I tell you, he would be a surefire Hall of Famer if he at least won one Super Bowl. But I'm going to say he gets in, he squeaks in eventually, but he's not a first ballot, Hall of Famer. But definitely, I think the Philadelphia Eagles should definitely honor him. And even though toward the end of his career with them, maybe didn't live up to their standards, but I think if you look at his overall career, I think they should really honor him and appreciate the service that he gave not only to the city of Philadelphia, but, of course, the organization there of the Eagles.
Gotcha. We're going to keep an Eagle focus here. I don't know how this happened, Rob. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Obviously, LeSean McCoy wants to rematch with Michael Vick, man. What do you think about this, man? He just won't let it die.
We're trying to increase our listenership in the Philadelphia area. So, Eagles fans, y'all be tuning in. We're talking about your team tonight. We're talking about the Soul. We're talking about the Eagles. So, definitely need to be tuning in. Yeah. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's Mike Vick and, of course, LeSean McCoy supposedly had a race. And Vick still showed him that he's a faster player. I don't think much is going to change in a few weeks, McCoy, so I give him another chance. I don't think much is going to change in a couple of weeks. So I think Vic will probably dust them again.
I agree, man. Like I said, there's certain players that you just know they've got the that fight in them, man. And I think Vic, man, I don't know. I don't think he's going to give that up too easily, like you said. I'm going to ask a question that's still, once again, for our Philly fans, we are showing you guys a lot of love up north. What do you think about Chip Kelly's system? I mean, do you think he's going to be successful in the league? I mean, or is he going to kind of find it tough sledding as another previous college coach? What are your thoughts about this up-tempo system? It sounds good. You know, you have more offensive plays. You average about 75 plays in the NFL right about now. Chip Kelly's trying to increase that. They have this quick tempo. Do you think he's going to be successful this year?
Well, it's really funny that you raised that question. I had a conversation with an Eagles fan just tonight about the same subject here, about Chip Kelly's offense and how it's going to work in the NFL. So it's really interesting that you bring up that question. And obviously, it's still a lot of unknown. But I think the one hidden fact is that he hired Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator. And Pat Shurmur comes from the West Coast school. So he had hired an experienced NFL offensive coordinator to help him with the transition. And so I think from that regard, I think a lot of people are missing out on that fact. And I think Pat Shurmur would help Chip Kelly with bridging his offense and the West Coast offense. And if you go back and look at the film study of Chip Kelly's offense, one of the things he incorporates to his offense quite a bit is a screen game. And if you look at the way he designed the screen plays, those plays will work in the NFL just as effectively. Now, he's going to run that pistol offense in the NFL, too. And so that's going to be interesting to kind of see how that works out as well. But he's got great designs in the screen game, and I think Pat Shurmur will help him bridge their two offenses together. And I actually think that he will be successful offensively. Now, the question is, you know, what kind of teams are the Eagles going to have defensively? And the next question is, do he have the quarterback on his roster to run the offense that he wants to run?
Man, he's got about 55 quarterbacks, man. I guess he keeps trying to figure out which one
he's trying to find one. When you have that many quarterbacks on your team, you're trying to find one.
That doesn't boast well. They said that Vic is picking up the offense pretty well. But as mentioned, we'll see how that plays out for sure. Man, we showed a lot of love to our Philadelphia teams. And, Rob, you know, I figured that was a relevant question because we were talking about everything of the Eagles, so I figured it was kind of good to throw that in there. I'm glad that made it relevant for the question. As always, we're about 2 minutes left in the show. Rob, at this juncture, we're getting ready to go to our OT portion. We're going to spend some time talking about the top basketball, high school basketball player where he's planning on going. And then wrapping up the end of the question you may have with the NFL draft. Anything else NFL, or we're going to keep it going basketball-wise too as well. So let's go ahead and wrap this up, Rob.
Yeah, just really quick, Andrew Wiggins, the most sought-after high school basketball player, not only in the country but in Canada. He's actually a Canadian.
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of people is comparing this kid to LeBron James kind of skills. You pick Kansas over Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Florida State, over quite a few schools. A lot of people thought Kansas was going to have a down year next year, but they got two big-time recruits coming in next year. And, nope, they're going to be right there competing for the Big 12 title again next year, people. So we need to wrap up our show. Join us next week. Hopefully we'll start getting into some NBA draft a little bit on next week, along with NBA playoff, and start previewing the NFL and college football season. If you don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. For our good friends in Germany, it'll be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. Make sure you join us, people.
Yes, that's what it's all about. Keep it going. Tell your friends we're here every Tuesday. Lord willing, we're here to talk some sports. The number is a call, 424-243-9519. Don't forget, we appreciate everyone following us on Twitter. We are at the number 12, THMAN Sports on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, so go to facebook.com/talkingsports for the 12th man. That's what it is all about. I am Andre Peterson. He is Robert Ford. We are getting ready to jump into the OT portion of the show. Tell your friends, tell your family good night. Good night, people.
Good night, people.
All right, we are having fun. We're getting ready to wrap up the live portion of the show. And, Rob, I was trying to, like, drag it out for Andrew Wiggins, but we have to, I guess, jump into that part of the show where at this time figuring out where he was going to go. Very low-key guy, you know, not wanting a lot of attention, which I think is great for all these athletes nowadays that we're seem like we're in the me generation. That's whenever I know I'm getting old, I'm saying stuff my dad would say. But, you know, this guy's a very quiet kid, very humble kid. They are comparing him kind of to almost the best player, kind of like LeBron. What are your thoughts about you think this is pretty good? Have you seen Andrew Wiggins play? You think this is a good analogy as well?
I don't know if he's as strong as LeBron James, but he's versatile like LeBron James, very athletic, can handle the basketball, can do a lot of different things with it. He can shoot it. He might be a better shooter than LeBron. And LeBron has got a very all-around game, but you don't really think of LeBron as being a great shooter. He's a scorer. He's a facilitator. He plays outstanding defense. But the one thing Wiggins may have over LeBron is that Wiggins can actually stroke the basketball. He can really stroke it, and he really can handle the basketball. He may not have the rebounding and the strength that LeBron has. So, you know, give or take a little bit, he's got potential. You know, possibly in a very elite player in college basketball next year, and a very great future here in the NBA as well. So it's definitely a great get for the Kansas Jayhawks, and this will definitely have them right back in contention next year with Andrew Wiggins on their roster.
Yes, sir. Andrew Wiggins decided to go to Kansas, and it seems like he had a couple of different choices. I'm sorry, I know North Carolina was one of the choices. He had let them go. Interesting to see how he came to this decision, Rob. And what do you think about it? He's definitely a one-and-done player, huh? You know, obviously, there's no doubt about this kid and his skill set. It looks like he might be looking at the number one pick for college.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're looking at it right now, he definitely looks like a one-and-done player. And it would be hard to imagine him staying in college longer than one season. And so I definitely see him as a one-and-done player. But I think Kansas will benefit from the services in this 1 year, that's for sure.
We are having fun. You're in the OT portion of Talking Sports with 12 Men. Once again, Andre Peterson, Robert Ford. We're going to keep it going. And I guess... I just want to say a quick note about Mr. Titus Young. Not good that this guy has been arrested a couple times here. What do you think about this guy, this little malcontent as well? I'm kind of throwing out some extra stuff here, so I just wanted to hope I didn't catch you off guard with the question.
Well, you know, it's just unfortunate, man. You just hope that, you know, he gets his life together and straighten up here and these things, kind of things. You know, you just ruined a very good possible NFL career. Now it's going to be hard for him to be picked up by any team as a result of this situation. So you really just hope that he kind of gets it together. You know, he's wasting a ton of potential and wasting a lot of money as well that he could be making in the NFL. It's just so unfortunate.
Interesting. Let's keep it going, Rob. What else we got going on here? It's been interesting as we keep track about what's going on. I agree with you. Next week we're getting ready to jump into some – I can't wait till we get ready to jump into the draft for the NBA, kind of seeing what's going on with that. In addition, Rob, to you know, obviously training camps will be starting pretty soon at that juncture too. We'll be ready to start football, which football is king. But, yeah, I think I'm excited about that too because, you know, if you looked at – I know I'm kind of switching back and forth between a couple sports. You looked at the way that Ben McLemore kind of did his thing at Kansas, and it seems like they're just – or not Kansas, and it looks like they're reloading. I was thinking of Kentucky for some reason. But, it's going to be a pretty good – I can't wait for June to actually happen, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, those are definitely some all valid points right there.
That's it, Rob. Is it? He's finished with me. Any other things we want to talk about as we get ready to wrap up another successful edition of Talking Sports with 12? Anything else you want to discuss before I get ready to shut it down here?
Yeah, well, I guess we have an abbreviated OT portion. We ran out of topics tonight. But
we can keep it going. I mean, like I said, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about anything else, you know, but like I said, because, you know, I was going to give you a hard time about Titus Young, but you didn't take the bait, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, like I said, it's just such a, you know, unfortunate situation there. You know, you never want to see this happen to anyone. And especially somebody that's just wasting some talent and potential. And, you know, my hope is that he really just get it in gear. And then you just hope that once he gets it in gear, which we hope will be soon, that somebody will give him another opportunity. Because obviously there is some talent there. And but, you know, he's got to be able to respect coaches and general managers. He's got to be able to respect himself as well, too.
Wow, good points. Good points as always. We are still keeping it going in the OT portion, talking sports with 12th Man. Just making sure that I'm not missing any tweets or anything like that, just to make sure everything is going good. We definitely appreciate a lot of love you guys following us and whatnot. And checking us out on Facebook, we are just ecstatic about that as well. I guess, Mr. Ford, I know it's been a long day. I don't know if we can shut it down or keep it going unless you have any other topics to discuss. Dre is going to get ready to wrap this bad boy up for another successful Talking Sports for the 12th Man.
Yeah, and, you know, getting back to the Titus Young situation, I don't know if you're hearing a story where his dad is coming out saying he has a possible disorder as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah.
I mean, that's something that you may have to follow as well.
Yeah, like I said, maybe it has something to do with a lot of the things that he's been going through. Because, you know, like you said, I don't want to wish that on anybody. That situation, obviously. Unless this dude has really, really bad luck. So, if he has some type of issue, you definitely hope that he gets that corrected. I don't know if it's bipolarism or whatever, or if he has some type of thing. But, he definitely needs to get reached. They definitely need to reach out to him and talk with him because, like you said, he's a very talented young guy. And his career can still be salvaged if he just kind of takes the time to kind of get that straightened away for sure.
Absolutely. And just a quick update on this. The Spurs and the Warriors. Spurs up by 11, 87-76, a little bit over 9 minutes to go. So definitely stay tuned. This might be the most exciting second-round NBA playoff series that we have. I think this will be the only one to go 7 games.
Gotcha. Yeah, very excited, man. We'll see how this plays out for sure. You know, and like you said, very exciting series. It's good to see. It's good to see good basketball, Rob. That's what I miss, Rob. I miss, you know, it's okay to play underneath the rim every now and then, just good fundamental basketball. And this is whenever you start, you know, as we talk about the cream starts rising on the top. And very excited about the possibilities and what's going to happen in the playoffs for the NBA.
Yes. Yes, we'll definitely be covering a lot of the NBA playoffs here in the next few weeks. Hopefully, like I said, we'll start getting into the NBA draft. The NBA draft lottery is actually next week as well. So we'll get a better idea of the team's positioning for the NBA draft as well. Go Hornets. Well, Pelicans, I'm sorry.
Still repping the Pelicans. I love
them. Yeah, the Pelicans need to win the draft lottery again 2 years in a row. Let's do it, baby.
Oh, man. Who's going to be the number one pick for you? McLemore, is that who you guys are going for? Victor Aladipo?
Either Ben McLemore or Nerland Knowles.
Wow. Okay. All right. We'll keep it going, sir. Trying to put the Pelicans in here. Whatever. What do you think about the Hawks and their search for the new coach, man? You think word on the street is that Stan Van Gundy's the guy, which is not a bad move. I still like. We need a disciplinarian. I like it's kind of an old school name. I like Jerry Sloane, too. I know you may not have the same type of affinity, but what do you think about the Hawks and their decision to try to keep it going for real?
Well, the unfortunate thing about the situation is it's almost like they're holding Larry Drew hostage right now. I think they should let him know something right now. I know his contract is with the Hawks until June 30th. But I think, you know, you should go ahead and make the decision, are we going to keep you or are we going to let you go? Because there's about four or five other NBA jobs opening right now. And so at least give him an opportunity. Not saying that he's going to get one of those other jobs, but at least give him that opportunity to go out and seek one of those jobs. And so I think that's a little unfortunate about the way he's being treated. And I think any time you are looking to interview other people, that's a writing on a wall that you're not going to bring them back. So why not just tell them right now, we're not going to bring you back. I don't see Larry Drew being back as a head coach. Free him up. Give him the opportunity to at least get another job and move on with looking for a head coach for your organization.
Good stuff, Rob. I appreciate that for sure. Well, man, like you said, we are here every Tuesday talking sports with the 12th man, Andre Peterson, Robert Ford. We can't help but just to say thank you for all of our listeners out there. Rob, I'm going to let you kind of close this out as we get ready to wrap up talking sports with 12th man.
Yes, people, we certainly appreciate you all tuning into our show yet again. Like I said, we still got some exciting stuff coming up here, NBA playoffs, NBA draft, previewing the NFL season, previewing college football. We still got a lot to talk about. Make sure you all like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. And once again, follow us on Tuesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian, 5 a.m. in Germany. Make sure you all tune in on next week. Love you guys, and tune in on next week, people.
That is what it's all about. We are here every Tuesday, as Rob said. Thank you guys so much. Be safe. We will see you guys next week. See Chris.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. Talk to you guys soon.
All right.